Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adeomi again. And today we are going through the book of Hebrews. We have reached chapter 6. We are going to go now to chapter 7. In this chapter 7, Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Hebrews, was going to start by talking to us about Melchizedek. Let's read. And as we read, I will stop to give some comment or refer to some other Bible verses as the Lord leads. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. That is, the word Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And he was going to describe to us what Apostle Paul knew about this Melchizedek. Verse 3, he said, he was talking about Melchizedek, that he was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now, we couldn't find any trace of how Apostle Paul got this insight, other than we can just say a revelation, because he said this Melchizedek was without father. Now, we can go back and look at the story in the book of Genesis when Melchizedek appeared to Abraham, and that was the only place in the Old Testament where, or the place where in the Old Testament it was reported that this priest of God appeared to Abraham after the slaughter of the kings that came against Sodom and Gomorrah. So you can see Abraham actually delivered Sodom and Gomorrah originally from being taken away by war. Then after that, after a while, the old Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of their sin. Maybe they went into thinking God will always deliver them, or they allow the devil to take over. Now that you will see in the book of Genesis chapter 14, when these five kings came against four kings, Sodom and Gomorrah, the kings of Sodom and king of Gomorrah. And the only reason why Abraham went after this war took place between the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the kings that came against them, and they took all the people captive and took them away. The only reason why Abraham went after them was because Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was captured because he was living very close to Sodom. According to when he separated from Abraham, he was living more like outskirts of Sodom, because he has a lot of cattle also. However, when the war came, those soldiers don't know who is in the outskirts. They just took all of them away. And so and Lot and his family and all their cattle were taken away. And one of the servants of Lot escaped and ran to Abraham, who was living a little bit far away, and told him what has happened. And Abraham gathered his servants, and there's about 300 servants. So Abraham was like the head of a village, if you can call it that way, a village, because he has servants, about 300 of them. He's a trained in his own house. And he got some of his friends that are also heads of villages or heads of towns. And he said, let's go after these people. They have taken my nephew. So they came, they went after them. You see that in the book of Genesis chapter 14. From verse 12 is where the story of Lot came into play. And verse 13 said, and there came one that had escaped, that is of the servants of Lot, told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anna. And these were confederate with Abram. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318 servants, and he pursued them unto Dan. So they pursued this army. And you remember, this army, they thought they have won. They are now going home rejoicing. And it's a long trip for them too. when they are there, so they were not expecting anybody to come behind and attack them. So Abraham went and did what they call guerrilla warfare. They call it guerrilla warfare in this generation, because they just hide and waited till this army was, maybe they were drunk and sleep enough, and all the things they have spoiled, they have taken, and they were just enjoying themselves in the party and this Abraham and his friends and the servants, they waited maybe till perhaps these people were sleeping, and then they sneaked in and killed most of their soldiers. And that's what you see in chapter 14 verse 15. Said that's Abraham, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. You see, they went by night, they waited till this night time when those soldiers were sleeping. They never thought any enemy is coming, because they just went and waged war, and they have won the battle and they are going home. And Abraham and his friends and his servants smote them and pursued them unto Obasi. So people woke up and started running when they saw something is happening. But they kept pursuing them and slaughtering them down, which is on the left hand of Damascus. So these people are running north towards Damascus. Verse 16, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham took back everything that this army took away. And it's going to be more, because they didn't just fight Sodom and Gomorrah. They have been waging war against other towns and winning and carrying the goods, and then came to Sodom and Gomorrah and won and carried the goods and the servants and the slaves, and they were going. So they thought they are done for the day, for the season. But Abraham came secretly in the night and slaughtered many of them and took all the goods, and the rest of the soldiers fled, and they pursued them until they eliminated them. And that was what was happening. And then this is where Melchizedek appeared in verse 17 and 18. It says, and the king of Sodom, they escaped, you know, when they saw that they have lost the war, they ran into the jungle. So only those who are not able to run are the ones that are taking captives, and the women, and so on and so forth. And so when the king of Sodom saw that these people are coming back, and they found that some other soldiers, that's when they saw Abraham has gone to rescue them. So the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaphi, which is the king's day. And verse 18 is where we are going. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now that was the first time, the only time where we heard about this priest called Melchizedek appeared before in the Old Testament. And verse 9 says, and he blessed him, he blessed Abraham, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. Now, which means he knew Abraham was worshiping the Most High God. All the other kings are worshiping idols. But he said, blessed. So that's why we know that this must be a mysterious person. He knew Abraham. Nobody, no record that Abraham had been visiting this man or this priest all along. Nobody have any record of that. And Abraham was always worship God by sacrificing on a altar that he built by himself. So for this person to suddenly appear and they call him Melchizedek, king of Salem, that means Abraham heard about him, or knew about him, or he just appeared and the palace was a mysterious figure. That was what we know here. And he said, he blessed Abraham, said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. So he knew Abraham was worshiper of God Almighty, the Most High God. And not too many people are worshiping the Most High God. Others are worshiping some images, some idols in their own cities and so on. And he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So Abraham recognized him right away that we are worshiping the same God. Verse 20 says, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And the Bible says, and he, Abraham, gave him tithes of all. So Abraham knew what to do, so he gave the priest tithes. And then the rest of the story you can read. But see, that was the place where Melchizedek was mentioned. And except that in the book of Samuel, you say, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, talking about the Messiah. So now, Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, was giving us some revelation in verse 3 of chapter 7, that This Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So we can say he looked like God just manifested as a priest. But made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. So the only thing we can conclude from that Bible verse alone, believing that that was a revelation given to Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, is that this Melchizedek must have been God just manifested in form of a priest. Why? Because he said he was have no beginning of days. The only one that we know has no beginning of days and no descent was God Almighty, who created all things. And he said he had no end of life, so like a little trace of his genealogy. I actually tried to look into the scripture and said, where is this word Melchizedek? What does it mean? And he said it means king of righteousness. When you look back into the Bible, you see Sedek. Sedek is a language. Melchizedek in the Bible, in the among the Jebusites, they call it Adonisedek. So that is another name for another ruler among the Jebusites, Adonisedek. So that Sedek is more like a pretext or subset of a word of a name, almost like the last part of a name that's meaning a king. You see. Maybe king of that place. So Sedek may be the language meaning a king in that particular tribe, in that particular language. So he called him king of righteousness because he's a Melchizedek. King of righteousness, Melch must be righteousness. Sedek is the king of righteousness. Now, he was also said could come from Salem. Salem was the word, Salem means peace. So he called himself he's the king of peace. So that's what verse 2 was saying to us, that by interpretation, that Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and also he called himself a king of Salem, which means he's actually calling himself king of peace. And now he gave us the interpretation that this man was without father, without mother, so that can only be eternal person also. Without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So we can only say that must God manifested as the king of peace, which is God is actually the king of peace also. But made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. So this Apostle Paul was describing the fact that for Melchizedek to appear and take tithes from Abraham as the priest of God, and when you come to the story that is in among the Hebrews, and Moses wrote that the Levites, which is the Aaronic priests and all the Levites, they were to take tithes from the Israelites, because they were selected to be the priest and Aaronic priesthood. And he's telling us right now that Abraham actually paid tithe to Melchizedek, and when Aaron and all his seed was still inside the bosom of Abraham, so they also paid tithe to Melchizedek. In a way, that's what he was describing there. But 7 says, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better, that is, Melchizedek is better than Abraham, that's why he was blessing Abraham. And now verse 8 said, an heir, that is in the days of Moses, men that die receive tithes. In this generation also, men, human beings that are receiving tithes from the believers also. See, men that die in the days of an Aaronic priesthood, they die, that's why they are not allowed to continue after their lane also. But say they that are dying, they receive tithes before they die also. But there, that is in the days of Abraham, we are talking about Melchizedek, he received tithe, of whom it is witnessed that he lived. I mean, we just read verse 3 that this Melchizedek has no end of life. So he received tithe in from Abraham, and he lived and not died. And as I may say, verse 9 said, Levi also received tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So what is this story, this Hebrews chapter 7 is trying to compare two priesthood. the priesthood of Aaron and the priesthood of Melchizedek. That Melchizedek received tithe from Abraham, and we said that Melchizedek is a somebody that we don't know the end of his life nor the beginning of his day, so it could have been God manifested in the flesh. Is what he was being described when he said he was without father, without mother in verse 3. So he was saying there he received tithe from Abraham, and we say he was without end of life. He said, but in the days of Moses, the Levites were paying, were receiving tithes, but they were human beings that died. So those who are dying are receiving tithes, but there are those who, that man was said to still be alive, receive tithes. And the same way about the Lord Jesus Christ is receiving a tithe and his life, he's alive forever, is the priest, high priest for us after the order of Melchizedek. That's where it's going to conclude in the next few verses. So he was comparing, saying in verse 11, say, if therefore perfection was, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that any another priest should be after the order of Melchizedek? Let me read that again. In verse 11, say, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, because the Jews were trying to say Moses is the thing, not so. And if Moses is the thing, they are talking about the Levitical priesthood that Moses set up. Because under that Levitical priesthood, they received the law. You see, if that is where perfection comes from, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? It's a question. So he's trying to make you to see that God called another priest after the order of Melchizedek because he was abolishing the order of Aaron that has been terminated. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, you see what I'm saying? He's telling us that the priesthood is being changed from Aaronic priesthood right now to Melchizedek priesthood, where they don't have to be the sons of Aaron. See, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So you can see the corollary and the correlation that this writer was telling us, that the priesthood was being changed from the priesthood of Aaron to the priesthood of Melchizedek. According to the plan of God. Then he said there must be the need to change the law also, because the law was given under the priesthood of Aaron. The law of Moses was given under the priesthood of Aaron. So there's a change in the law. Verse 30 said, for he of whom these things are spoken, talking about the Messiah now, pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ was called out of the line of Judah, where there was no mention that a priest would come from there. Verse 40 said, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Verse 15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. So that's why God was saying, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God is calling somebody from a different tribe that is not Aaronic tribe and making him a priest. And he says, after the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek will be eternal. And so this priest is also going to be eternal. That must not die and be rotting in the grave. That's why he say he liveth forever. Verse 16 said, verse 15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. That's why Christ, when he resurrected, he went back to heaven. The power of an endless life, he will be the high priest forever for humanity before God. Verse 17 says, for he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. I mean, you are disannulling the old law, the old commandment, and giving a new commandment, which is the law of love that Jesus Christ gave to us. Because the priesthood has been changed from the Aaronic priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood, where Christ is the high priest. And we are being brought in as priests under Christ also. You see that in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 said, the 24 elders were saying, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. kings and priests. If we is making us unto our God king and priest, and we are not sons of Aaron, that means we are under the line of Melchizedek. And that is being spoken by 24 elders who are not children of Aaron either. So he's talking about the Melchizedek priesthood. For many, it's not going to be every believer. Many will be brought in into that order of Melchizedek. Some are brought up to be priests under Christ. Some will be kings. So Melchizedek was a king and a priest. So these people will be king and priest, because Melchizedek was a king and a priest. But logically, that's the triple crown: king, priest, and prophet. That's why he was called the great king. The great king of Jerusalem. A king, a priest, and a prophet. That's triple crown. Melchizedek was only said to be a king and a priest. You see, King David, in his time, he was a prophet and a king. That's why he was not to go into the temple to be offering incense. There was a king in the days of the Hebrews, he called Uzziah, who exalted himself. He was a king and he wanted to become priest also, and he was smitten by leprosy for disobeying, for disagreeing with the priest that confronted him. You see that in the book of Kings. I may not be able to refer to that right now, but see, I'll refer to that later. But what we are saying is that God gave some people, some in the days of old, they are given the anointing to be a prophet and perhaps to be a king or perhaps to be priest, and sometimes they have to. David has the prophetic anointing, that's why he was able to write all these things in the book of Psalms that were prophesying of the Messiah. That means he was a prophet, but he also was a king, also, but he was not a priest. And some of the other kings after David were given the anointing to be a king, but they are not given the anointing to be a priest, because the priests are only the Aaronic line in that generation. Only the sons of Aaron can be priests. But when Uzziah went to become proud and went to go and sacrifice incense before God, only the priests are allowed to do that, are commanded to do that. He was punished for that. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is the king and the priest and the prophet. And he manifested those three when he was on earth. He was preaching about as a prophet. Remember that? Now he rose into the city, Jerusalem, the last riding into the city on a donkey. And they were hailing him. Blessed be king that come in the name of the Lord. He came as a king. As a king. Now he went to the temple on that day and casting out people from the temple. That means he's taking control of the temple. That's the only the priests are allowed to do that. So the three manifestations that he showed, that was why the whole spiritual world was alert. And you go and look at that in the book of Matthew chapter 20. I preached about that before. In Matthew chapter 27. Let me point to that. How he was marked to be the great king when he rode into the city. When he rode into the city and they were hailing him, "Hail, the king that coming in the name of the Lord." And the Bible said they went, he was riding a donkey, and then he went into the temple of God and started driving out all the people that was buying and selling the temple. That means he took over the job of the priests who are in charge of the temple. And that's why they came and said, they said, "Why are you allowing these people to say the son of David?" He said, "Don't you hear what the Bible said? That out of the mouth of babes and suckling as that perfected priest." And then the Bible said the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them all. And that was the ordinance that had been written before, where they said only those who can take away the blind and the lame can come into the temple. It was ordinance that was proclaimed by the Jebusites to King David. They said only those who can take away the blind and the lame. When King David wanted to come against the Jebusites to take over the city, and they sent him an ordinance and said, it is prophesied, only if you can take away the blind and the lame, that's when you can come into this place to reign. And King David got the message and he didn't attack the Jebusites. That's a different story. But see, that was an ordinance that was written down. By the time the logical walked into the temple and started taking the job of a priest, when he sent those people away, all the people that are buying and selling, They said the blind and the lame, that is, the ordinance said only those, only somebody that can take away the blind and the lame should be able to come into this place. And he was able to take away the blind and the lame by healing them. And that was mysterious, but you see that in another, we talk about that in another sermon. So that is what we are talking about here. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews. We're saying in verse, we've gone all the way to verse 15, says, and it is yet far more evident for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For it is for that a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see that in Psalm 110, verse 4. For there is verily a discerning of the commandment going before for the weakness of unprofitableness thereof. For the Lord made nothing perfect, but the beginning of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, and inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, thou the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When you look at the book of Psalm 110, verse 4, he said the Lord swear. That's the oath is mentioned here. That God, Christ is made a priest after the order of Melchizedek by an oath by God. But the sons of Aaron, there was no oath involved. They just appointed them to be priests because they are from descendants of Aaron. And he said, verse 22 said, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, that is the sons of Aaron, were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. This man has an unchangeable priesthood because he continued, because he lived forever. Verse 25, therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. And this book is talking about Christ being our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, before God right now in heaven, is making intercession for us. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Christ offered up himself once and for all. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, that is, was before the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. So the Lord Jesus Christ was made high priest after the order of Melchizedek, is what he's saying. And that is the high priest we need right now for eternity, not the line of Aaron. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding as you listen to the next few verses. God bless you.